Isaiah, what a great prophet, what a great book. So many things that God did and spoke through the prophet Isaiah, and foretelling of the things of Jesus, foretelling of the Messiah, foretelling of the time. What we're looking at in Isaiah 56 is the time of the millennial, is when Jesus is reigning. And God speaks in this particular chapter and just specifically speaks to the Israelites to say, hey, there's all nations are going to come to me. I'm going to bless all people. And I thought that was just a great scripture to for us to look at and to consider this morning as we are the body of Christ. And we want all to come. And we want all to come to that place of salvation, right? Are we that mindful that our kids are learning the things of God and growing up in the Lord? Nothing more precious than a prayer of a child. If you were here last week and you heard little Easton Duffy pray a prayer, just so pure. You know that prayer was heard. You know God's ear was listening to those prayers, and that we would be people of prayer as well. You know, when we see the requirement that God had in the Old Testament, the law, very quickly you discover it's impossible to keep that law. And as much as the Israelites tried to follow the rules, there was no way they could keep it. And so there was no hope. So God produced the sacrificial system. An innocent animal would die so that your sins would be covered. Well, we, on the other side of Jesus, know that Jesus paid the price for all. And it's that hope that we have in Jesus, that he paid the price, that we don't have to. But yet there's certain requirements that we have to live as God's people. And as we're in his house, I just want us to be reminded, this house is to be a house of prayer. This is to be a place where prayer happens, where lives are transformed, and where you're encouraged to be a person that exercises their faith. It's no good to be faithful just on Sundays. You got to be faithful every day of the week, every moment of every day. And that's why we at Calvary Chapel teach the Word of God, so you understand what God's heart is and what the Scriptures say, so that you can search them for yourselves. Listen, I'm no master at this, but God has given us a book that we can read every single day and hear his heart and desire to live for him. You know, Jesus, when we look at the law, when Jesus came, he took the law to another level, didn't he? In fact, I think the girls in the back will put up Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Hopefully that, yeah. This is what Jesus says. You have heard that it was said to those of old that you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, I know nobody in here is angry with anyone. But didn't Jesus take it to another level? Well, I'm not a murderer. Jesus says, man, if you have anger in your heart, it's the same thing. We can have that in this world that we live in. We can have that anger in our heart. And we want God to take that away from us, to have the heart and the mind of God. And so on the basis of what Jesus says in this verse, is there any hope for any of us to get to heaven? Now, there's nobody in this room that hasn't ever been angry. Right? We're in danger. But we put our hope in Jesus. And that's where that hope must be. We are thankful that Jesus paid the price so that we won't have to. One day we're going to be in heaven where there's no more murdering, where there's no more struggle, where there's no more COVID, no more masks, no more of this stuff. We're going to walk and just worship the Lord on a golden street. What a glorious time that will be. Look with me at verse 1, Isaiah. We're going to just go through this real quickly. There's a few things I just see in here that are great reminders for us today. Isaiah 56, verse 1 says, thus says the Lord. We should pay attention to when we see those words. Keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. So give me your attention here. Just these first two verses, right out of the gate, God is speaking through Isaiah to the children of Israel. Listen, keep justice and do righteousness. If you want to know the will of God for your life. That is a great start. To do justice speaks of how we react with other people. It's our relational justice, judging others and ridiculing others. The word itself is judgment. It's a just relationship with other people. Right? Jesus says, if you come to the altar with your gift and remember that you have something against a brother, leave your gift and go away, be reconciled with your brother, then come offer your gift. God wants not only this relationship to be strong, but these relationships to be strong. So we must do everything in our power. I mean, it doesn't say how to do it, it just says do it. Whatever needs to be done to reconcile relationships, that's what we must do. And sometimes the hard thing is picking up the phone and saying, we need to talk. We need to get to the bottom of this. And we need to deal with it, with these relationships, because we have these wedges that the enemy wants between our relationships with each other, with our spouses, with our kids, with our friends, with our coworkers. And we have to, God's saying, keep justice, do what's right. And sometimes that's admitting that you're wrong. Sometimes it's admitting that you're going to forgive someone that really doesn't deserve it. I know I'm a man who stands before you not deserving the grace of God. But he gives it to me anyway. So I just accept it. That's what we must do. Righteousness speaks of being blameless in our behavior before God. To do righteousness, to live righteously. So the first thing I think about when I think about a house of prayer is a call to living holy. It's a call to really desire to live for the Lord. You know, I talked about earlier about the mind. God, the Bible says we should be transforming and renewing our minds, the way we think. We must change. And that change doesn't just happen that quickly, does it? Sometimes that change takes time. But are we willing to live holy lives? And are we willing to be changed? Because look at the promise in verse 2. Blessed is the man who does this. I would imagine everyone in this room wants to be blessed, right? Blessed is the man who does this. Blessed is the man who keeps justice and who lives in righteousness. So let's be blessed. And if you want to be blessed, you start by reconciling your relationships horizontally and living right before God through Jesus Christ. The second thing I see in verse 3 says, do not let the son of a foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house. And within my walls, look at this, a place and a name. Better than that of sons and daughters, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. God has the ability to take the wretchedness of our lives and make them of great value. The house of God, the house of prayer is a place where we can come and are called to allow all to come into this place and to hear the word of God and to see people worshiping the Lord. Do you notice that when other people are worshiping, it helps you worship? You know, even this morning as we were singing and lifting our voices and hearing people saying praise the Lord and clapping, it brings a sense of community together. And it draws us all closer, I believe, to the Lord. So it's that sense that God has given us a community to come together that we would invite all to come. You know what I would love to see? I would love to see Calvary Chapel have 4 services on Sundays. You know, just continually teaching the Word of God and teaching people how to worship Him. This is a place of prayer. This is a place where people can come in here and say, I messed up. My relationship with my wife is not good. Would someone pray with me? And I want every single person that comes to this church to be a person of prayer. If God's house is a house of prayer, then it's not the house that prays, right? It's the people inside. And it's not only the pastor's responsibility to pray. We can all pray. We can all be a part of the work that God is doing. May we be open to that. If God, notice it says here, the Lord has utterly, verse 3, he says, speaking of the foreigner, it says, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. So what he's saying, and even the eunuch, he's saying, we're looking at ourselves saying, I have no worth in my life. And God's saying, no, I see value in every life. You know, these people that in the society, they were outcasts. Nobody would have a relationship with them. And God is saying, no, I want you to become a part of my family. How many of us are critical of ourselves? More than the Lord would ever be critical of ourselves. And that's what God is saying to them. He's saying, look, if you think, basically it's saying, where does it say? You know, if you walk right, if you live in obedience, I will honor and bless you. I will give you a place and a name in my house. God says, I will know you. And a place in his house, a place to be loved, a place to be used. So many people, or I shouldn't say so many. I do know people that have been hurt in life, and it's hindered their relationship with God to the point where they think they're no longer valuable to serve the Lord Jesus. In this church, there was a man who came to this church many, many years ago, was in ministry himself, and was for a season between time his ministry and had come into our church, was felt separated from God, never thinking he'd ever be used again. But God raised him back up, and God used this man mightily in our church. And that's the blessing of it. We might bring condemnation on ourselves, but God says, there's so much value in your life if you would just come to me and I'll clean you up and I will use you. Can you imagine if we just said, no, you can't come here. You got to be perfect to come to this church. If that's the truth, I'll have to leave. I apologize. Right? All of us. It'd be empty. You've heard me say, perfect church is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, period. No. A church should be full of hurting people ready to get saved, ready to get transformed, ready to get healed, and to be restored. And that's what I believe our church is for, is to encourage people to learn from their past, but look to the future and work with what God wants to do in your life. That's the future. So if you're feeling hopeless, or if some ministry or some group of people have looked down at you or spoken down to you, ignore that. That's a lie of the enemy. God sees value in everyone if we begin to come back to him and be strengthened by him, by the things that he's saying here in this book. The third thing. And the last thing, in verse 6. Also the sons of the foreigner. Again, this entire chapter is talking to Israel, but saying, everyone is welcome into my house. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him. So they have a heart to serve God and to love the name of the Lord. They love God, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant. So God's saying, I've set standards, covenants, laws in order to help you, right? I just, when we've seen the Sabbath now several times here, man, you know, we can talk all day long on what day is the Sabbath. Listen, God created the Sabbath. He set the Sabbath as the seventh day, right? The seventh day that we should rest. Not because God was tired, he didn't need to rest. But he knows us. We work ourselves to the bone. Has anybody noticed this? So worn out. And God is saying, you need time to just worship me. You need time set aside from business, from work, from doing any type of, and just worshiping me. And certainly, Jesus has fulfilled all that. But God is going to reestablish his Sabbath when we get to heaven, which is interesting. We worship him for eternity, and then we take an eternity off. I don't know how it works. But he set it in motion, and he's saying to them, make sure you honor the Sabbath. And I'm not saying honor just Saturdays. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying make sure there's time in your life to spend time with the Lord. Just rest in God. Listen, this week was one of the busiest weeks a lot of the staff had at this church. Just long hours doing a lot of things, getting things in place. And it just brought to remembrance to me, it's like, wow, how important it is for our bodies to rest. I guess the older I get, the more rest I need. But it's like, it's so important, guys. And I would even say, take that Sabbath idea and even apply it to every single day, to spending. That's what devotion's all about, spending time with the Lord. Do we set time aside for God? Because God says he wants this place. Look at verse 7. He wants this place to be a place that people will come and find joy. Look at this, verse 7. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Wow. Joyful. Is there joy in your heart? Are you just thrilled with your relationship with God? Now listen, a lot of things can be going on in your life. Difficult situations, finances could be trouble. But are you joyful because you're a child of God? That's what I want this place to be. As Blake so wonderfully said, we are the church. And when we come together, is there joy in our hearts? Is there joy to be able? I love seeing your faces. I love being reunited. This morning, there's so many faces that I haven't seen in a long time that have come back because of our first service. It's so wonderful to see. It's just joy. And it's the joy of the Lord. And that's what God is promising. Verse 7 again, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. God is basically saying to Israel, wake up. You're in a tough place, but you can still come to my house, to my temple, and make it a place of prayer. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. I was going to put it up on the screen, but I think it's better that we turn to it in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 21. Because this is exactly the scripture that Jesus quotes when he enters into the temple. When he enters into the court of the Gentiles, was an outer court where non-Jews could come and could worship God. They were not allowed to go any closer to the temple. They had this place on the outside, and that's where the money changers were. So look with me at verse 13 and 21. Let me make sure I'm in the right place. There we go. It's like, that didn't look right. Actually, verse 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither? Am I right? 13. Thank you. Good golly. My belly. Okay, here we go. Verse 12. Let's go there. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, quoting Isaiah 56, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus, as he's coming into the temple, sees in the Gentile court, the place where every other nation could come and worship God, that they'd turn it into a place of business. And evil business for that matter. Anyone that would come that needed to exchange money or animals for the sacrifice to be acceptable, they were getting charged over. And Jesus saw all of this. And what I love about what Jesus said is that my Father's house, my temple, the place where you're supposed to come and worship, should be a place of prayer. Guys, if there's anything we can do that doesn't take a whole lot of effort, just time. That's time spent one-on-one with the King, with Jesus, with God, asking God to do a work. Everything that's happened on this property has been an answer to prayer. I'll give you a long time of prayer, but we're seeing the answers to our prayers. Prayers don't get answered all the time right away. Not all of them. Some of them take time, but don't give up. Continue to be a person that prays to the Lord and asks him to speak to your heart, to change your situation, to show you opportunities that you can serve him. It's prayer. And this is where we practice it, right? In his house. You want to take time and pray for someone? Then do it. Practice here. The only way you can get good at praying is by praying. I've said this many, many times. When my wife and I first got saved early on, I remember it distinctly. We were laying in bed one night after church. She was reading her Bible, and she looked over at me and said, "We should pray together." And I looked at her, I said, "Out loud?" And it's no lie. I'm like, yeah, no. And I remember it being in a church, and another guy, we were setting up the church one day, and he looked at me and he goes, "Rob, why don't you pray for us?" I looked at him, and I said the same thing, out loud? You don't get better at praying out loud until you pray out loud. To practice prayer. Let this be the place where you practice prayer. So you're talking to someone after service and they're telling you about what's going on in their work and how the struggles are. Can I pray for you? Or to ask someone, could you pray for me? I've got something going on in my life. I need prayer. I think it's the mature Christian that asks another person for prayer. Every single one of us in this room has a prayer need. Amen? Every single one. There's not one person that can say, "No, I don't need any prayer." I've heard that before one time in my ministry. "Can I pray for you?" "No, I don't need prayer." I'm like, "Well, then I'm going to pray for you anyway, because you really do need prayer." We all need prayer. And to see Jesus' passion, I want us all to have that kind of passion when we're in God's house, to honor it as God's house. Again, we are the church, but honor it as God's house and make sure that things are being done right. If there's conversations that don't seem right, be the person to say something. Brother, you know, this isn't the place for that. I don't think church should be the place to do business. You want to do business together, that's fine, but go to Starbucks and talk business. This place, we talk spiritual. We talk the Word of God, because that will help us in our business. I think God brings us together relationship-wise for business. That's fine. But let that not be the place. Because I would think Jesus would look down to us and says, "My Father's house should be a house of prayer, not a place to make business, not a place to find your spouse, although you might." You never know. The thing I like, if we go back to Isaiah real quickly, time and time again, God was showing Israel that the place of my worship is a place for all to come. Guys, there's a hurting world out there, isn't there, that doesn't understand the realities of biblical truth. And so they're living according to what they understand, the world's standards. That's why they're making the decisions that they're making. That's why they're making the choices that they're making. So instead of us getting angry or mad or fighting against, let's show them the right way. Let's lead them to the truth. If you know someone in your workplace or in your neighborhood that's hurting, I encourage you, invite them to come to church so that they can hear the Word of God and begin to allow their heart to open to the reality of who God is, the real God, the God we know. That, I believe, is what God wants us to do here, is to be equipped to go out there and make a difference. And if we ever have prayer meetings here, and I pray we'd be just as packed to this, and everyone would pray. I know it's scary. I know it's unsettling. But my God, again, just like children's hearts, it's just prayer doesn't have to be a ton of words. It can be just very specific and succinct. God bless my finances in Jesus' name. That's where it starts. God, change my heart to be more like your heart. That's another great prayer. And that's the place that we want this to be used for. This entire property to be used as a place for ministry to take place. And we want you all to be a part of it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are that you give us the scriptures to remind us to keep justice, to keep our hearts soft towards others, God. Even when they hurt us, even when they come against us, let us always be mindful and listening to the voice of the Spirit, because you may want to do something in their lives, God. That we would live righteousness and righteously. Always listening for your voice. May our prayers be sincere. May our prayers be specific. But may we also take time to listen, God. To listen for your voice. To listen for your will. So speak to us, God. Speak to each and every one. I pray for everyone here this morning, that they would know you. That they would be joyful in their relationship with you. And that they would be used by you. That they would know that there's great value in their life. And that's why you saved them. So as we look now to what you did, Lord Jesus, on the cross for all of us, as we partake of communion, may we remember once again the price that was paid, that we could have a life of victory, that we could have heaven secured because of what you've done, Lord. And let our lives be lived in such a way that they honor your name, that they glorify your name, and that they magnify the name of Jesus. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.